Spotlight.
This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on Saptadhara, powering India's journey towards Viksit Bharat. The participants are K.V. Prasad, political analyst, and Rajesh Lake, anchor.
Good evening and welcome to Spotlight. India celebrated its 80th Independence Day, and from the historic ramparts of the Red Fort, the Prime Minister presented a broad vision for India's journey towards Viksit Bharat by 2047. At the heart of this vision is Shakti Ki Saptadhara, seven streams of strength that can provide momentum to India's next phase of development. To discuss these, we have with us in the studio K.V. Prasad. Welcome to Spotlight.
Thank you very much.
To begin with, how do you interpret the concept of Shakti Ki Saptadhara and how the Prime Minister has linked Saptadhara with the goal of Viksit Bharat 2047?
I see this as a framework which presents development as a combined effort across the economy, agriculture, technology, infrastructure, defense, sustainability, and India's ability to influence the global world, rather than depending on one single sector. Now, this is seven streams merging into with a larger goal of our journey towards Viksit Bharat by 2047.
So let's discuss these in detail. The first major pillar is manufacturing power with emphasis on cost, quality, scale and complete value chains. Can India become a trusted global manufacturing hub while competing with established manufacturing economies?
We know that India's manufacturing sector's contribution to GDP is much less. The highest is the services sector, some 50% plus. Manufacturing comes about 20-odd%. And the rest goes to agriculture or vice versa. The point is, unless a country has a manufacturing capability, you cannot really talk in terms of A, providing the numbers to employ its people and also compete internationally on quality products. But this is important, and the Prime Minister has been talking about competitiveness in where you are able to compete with the best in the world. In 2014, for instance, we looked at cost competitiveness and, of course, the policy reforms which came later. So high dependence on imports for raw materials, components, you know, kept the cost higher. So manufacturing was fragmented. By 2013, policy reforms like Make in India, the PLI schemes, have reduced the import reliance and also worked towards automation, digitization, which is lowering production costs. Quality standards is important. We just mentioned about it, because unless you have quality, and that also comes from two things, your investment in research and development, your ability to produce products which are certified by ISO standards, international standards, and global partnerships. So now we are able to compete in some sectors like pharmaceuticals, for instance, electronics and defense, point a USP or a selling point, and is no longer a barrier. And then, of course, comes the scale of production. So these are some of the focus areas.
The second focus is on agriculture and food production. India has a rich variety of millets, spices, fruits, flowers, and traditional foods, K.V. What is needed to turn these products into internationally recognized Indian brands?
Basically, the effort is to move out from high output to diversified and value-added farming, because that's where the farmers or the product will get you more value. You're able to generate more revenue for yourself. And of course, we all know productivity and food security is important for a large country like India. So we are working on that. We have food grain output rose to 357 million. We are the largest producer of rice. We have wheat. Oilseed has reduced oil dependence, but yet we have areas. Then diversification is important. Horticulture has grown to almost 370 million tons. It contributes to something like 37% of crop value. Livestock, fisheries, dairy. Now, all these are creating income streams. In the last few years, government has been very aggressive in promoting sustainable food grain called Shriyan, right? And also allowing people to dietary habit change, nudging them towards to change a dietary habit, both for reasons for health and also because this is less dependent on water and other things, which has a larger implication of your environmental issues. Bioenergy cooperatives, digital platforms, value chains. We still remain import dependent on edible oils, advanced agriculture input, climate risk because monsoons, rising temperature. We just went through series of monsoon issue related issues in this country. And of course, smallholder fragmentation has been a big issue for Indian economy for a pretty long time. And the gap in food processing, because I think estimates say only 10% of our produce is processed, which is much below the global standards that are established.
Okay. The Prime Minister has also referred to chemical-free farming and global quality standards. How can India balance sustainability, productivity, and the need to ensure food security?
Yeah, that has been a challenge. But remember, we are now talking in two aspects. We know now internationally and even within the country, there's a lot of stress on organic production. Organic farming, organic products are gaining a lot of traction. But it's an expensive proposition. And a large country like India, we have food security issue because we have a lot large population. And we have been food, not just food sufficient, we also are in a position to export at times. So this has been, again, a larger environmental issue because fertilizer recently, we know, because of the conflict in West Asia and the led to issues of fertilizer and so much so, the government, even yesterday, the Prime Minister made a point that bag of fertilizer, which is available for 3,000, is just being subsidized by the government to the extent of the farmers having to pay only 300. So these are issues you have to look for long-term solutions. It's a difficult path, but we'll have to travel on that.
Technology and innovation constitute another important stream of Saptadhara. India is already recognized for its digital public infrastructure and technology talent, KV. What must India do to move from being a major technology market to becoming a global innovation hub?
I think India's scientific and technological trajectory between 14 and 26, you know, it reflects a decisive leap into areas like deep tech leadership, space, AI, biotechnology we just mentioned, being carved out for your global innovation identity. Now, space, we all know ISRO's flagship mission, whether it be the Chandrayaan or the Lunar Polar X, the human space flight that we are moving towards. We are talking of a Bharat Antariksh Station. Recently, we had a commercial launch of a space SSLV was done, to which I think the Prime Minister also mentioned yesterday. The other one is the big one, is the digital infrastructure. We all know that DPI, digital public infrastructure, is India has been developing it, and not just developing it, but encouraging others in the world to adopt. And UPI has become a flag bearer in this model. Many countries, India have adapted India's UPI interface, that's for payment interface, like countries from Singapore and some in the West Asia have adopted this. So we can seamlessly transfer money without actually needing to worry about the transaction going through a banking. Formal systems are there. So this is something. Then we all know the India's AI mission. Now that has been a big mission started in 2025. And in the beginning of this year, we had one of the biggest AI summits in New Delhi. So India has become, it says, the third largest producer of peer-reviewed scientific publications, doctoral graduates in STEM, that is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And we all know India has the biggest pool of scientifically trained manpower resource. And that has contributed not just to India, but in the world. And for instance, we all know ourselves that we are one of the leading technology in terms of software. And that's why the turnaround. Patent and innovation is another important thing. And that's where most countries really do. We are the third largest ecosystem, especially deep tech ventures in AI, semiconductors, quantum computing. I think, in fact, on semiconductors, the Prime Minister also spoke at from Red Fort yesterday.
Let's talk about the vision of Gati Shakti. How transformative could integrated connectivity be for India's economic growth?
Raj, we all know infrastructure is the key for growth. Roads, railway networks, transport corridors, freight corridors, seaports, airports, all these have to be integrated because, for instance, you may set up a very wonderful manufacturing plant in a back in state, but if you are not able to work either for export or within in the possible time, it will defeat the very purpose. In fact, there are many manufacturing plants in south of India because they are nearer to the seaport or in Gujarat or in these parts. But if you were to develop the hinterlands where you need industries to come up. So you need this infrastructure. And remember, the biggest problem India has always had was the seaports, the freight in particular. The turnaround time for the merchant vessels was much, much longer. They would not get berths for days on end. And whereas if you look at some of the international ports, whether it's Rotterdam or others, the turnaround time is much, much faster. Probably even 24 hours, they come, ship is emptied and they reload and move out. So these are the things which India is working on. And that's why they are expanding ports, not just in many parts. Inland waterways is one area that, look, we all know about the effort of ability to do expressways. Everything adds on, and unless you have infrastructure, spin-off benefit, of course, will lead to tourism and ecotourism that will add to it, Rajesh.
Okay. Kevin, the Prime Minister has called for greater Raksha Shakti and for India to become a global supplier of defense technology. My question to you is, how realistic is the goal of achieving deeper self-reliance in defense, and can defense manufacturing become a major source of high-skilled employment, innovation and export for India?
Yeah, it will take time, Rajesh, because it's a very highly skilled precision equipment. And remember, many of them are life-saving or in a matter of defense. You don't have option. So, but I look some of the structural and policy reforms which the government has started, defense acquisition procedure, the positive indigenous list, 5,000 items are now there, the liberalized FDI, 75%, the Ordnance Factory Board was restructured, your defense corridors in Uttar Pradesh, Tamil Nadu, which attracted almost 74,000 crores. This has also changed the landscape, if you were to say. We are, of course, still have dependent on imports, but at the same time, indigenous production has grown from 46,000 crores in 2014. We have what, like 1.78 lakh crores in 25-26. That shows Make in India and Atmanirbhar Bharat, the progress on that path. Defense exports, you know, from 686 crores in 13-14, we are like 38,000 crores in almost 80 countries. Exports, missiles, radars, armed vehicles, naval systems. This is a work in progress. I mean, this is a path you have to work, and you're moving towards the goal.
Okay.
It will take time because, as I said, there's highly skilled precision equipment that are required. Subsets are required for which you're working, Rajesh.
Okay. Let's come to the green and blue economy, and it is increasingly becoming an important part of the Saptadhara vision. What opportunities do green hydrogen, renewable energy, energy storage and green mobility offer India, and how can India ensure that its green growth remains affordable and inclusive?
Yeah, I think one of the principal factors, as we all know, Rajesh, the whole effort towards growth, that is development, in what model are you going to apply? Almost 30, 40 years ago, the Western countries were putting pressure on developing economies. Don't go our path, the way they damaged the environment. So since then, there has been a lot of international, we all know the committee of COPs meet every year, the Paris Accord and so on and so forth. So developing green economy is important. Developing blue economy is important. It's how much you're able to do, emphasize on renewable energy and clean mobility. So in green economy, the National Solar Mission, we all know, India has achieved 70 gigawatts of installed capacity and is working towards the 500 gigawatts renewable by 2030. The FAME, that is the faster adoption manufacturing of hybrid and electric vehicles, 2014 we started. Today you and I can notice many vehicles on the road with green number plate. Again, it's not easy because here the challenge is twin. You need faster transportation, you need cleaner transportation, and especially how do we reduce urban pollution, because that's a big target. And blue economy, of course, is important because you're dependent on ocean wealth. I was just mentioning that in the year 2005, we went to Iceland with President Kalam. And there the president mentioned that our country runs on wealth of ocean. So you can imagine a whole country just depending on oceans to rev its economy. But India is a diversified economy. And the Sagarmala project, where you're talking of port modernization, coastal connectivity, industrial clusters, maritime trade efficiency, and also this leads to job creation while promoting sustainable coastal development. And of course, the deep ocean mission, the deep sea mining, marine research, you know, looking, exploring the ocean resources, the biodiversity, technologies. So we are working on marine science. And yesterday, the Prime Minister did mention about how some no-go areas have been turned into a go area. So that shows that our effort is also working on this direction.
Okay.
Rajesh.
Yes. Lastly, how can India convert cultural influence into economic and diplomatic strength? And this is related to the seventh stream, which is India's soft power.
If you look back from time immemorial, India's soft power has always been there. The ancient universities of Nalanda became seats of learning. You had scholars coming to India. Yoga has been ancient, and International Yoga Day, which is now celebrated every year. And the Prime Minister very rightly says, this is one contribution of India to the world. It seeks no patent. So that's your goodwill gesture, and the world benefits. We saw during the COVID the amount of alternate medicine systems, be it Ayurveda, holistic healing, while health tourism is being promoted. Now, apart from that, the skills that we have in our artisans, our weavers, and all that adds to. And again, if you look at history, Indian trade in spices, silks, textiles has been going on since ancient times. So our software was always there. It's just that you need to tap it and make people more conscious of it. The latest software that people are realizing now is the power of films and music, and also the power of cuisine.
Yeah.
Rajesh.
The message from the Prime Minister's Independence Day address is clear. The journey towards Viksit Bharat will require ambition, reform, innovation, and collective effort. The real test now lies in implementation, translating vision into policy, policy into action, and action into outcomes that improve the lives of every Indian. Mr. K.V. Prasad, we would like to thank you for joining us on Spotlight, and thank you for being with us on Akashvani.
Thank you very much.
You were listening to a discussion on Saptadhara, powering India's journey towards Viksit Bharat. The participants were K.V. Prasad, political analyst, and Rajesh Lake, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani.
Spotlight.